It's just me and Jason tonight for a late night recording, Monday night, April 28th. It's just shy of 11 p.m. Pacific time. A lot happened over the weekend, so we just kind of want to jump on really quickly and talk about the NFL draft, NBA playoffs. Aaron, MIA at the moment. We'll see if he joins later on, but...
Well, my sources are telling me, Rome, that you've banned Aaron from the podcast just because of the anti-Laker talk and with the Lakers being down 3-1 right now.
Oh, dude, he would be. Dude, I was actually thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I just want to hear him because he's, I don't know.
Does I mean, that's what my sources are saying, that you didn't let him know we were recording tonight. He's just not allowed. He's got an indefinite suspension on the pod right now.
Yeah, it might be nice, actually. I don't need to hear his shit. the Lakers series is really good. I'm actually liking it. We'll talk about that later, for other reasons. But the NFL draft, full of surprises. Cam Ward goes number one. No surprise there to Tennessee. Travis Hunter went number two to the Jaguars. Abdu Carter went to the Giants at number three. And then I think those are like the pretty big highlights. Those are like the consensus, like top three. Some surprises, I think we all know. Shedeur Sanders slipping out of the first round. Not down to the two. Not down to the three. What was it, the fourth round? Fifth round, where Cleveland did like a goodwill type of draft. They went up to select him. The second quarterback that they selected in this year's draft. Which is kind of surprising, man. But let's talk about that. Because a lot of stuff has been leaking around. Replaying the interviews of why he slipped out. I want to hear your thoughts, Jason. What do you think of the draft overall? Number one, how did your Bears do? Number two, I'm pretty sure you got some comments there. And then we'll talk about Shedeur Sanders slipping into the fifth.
So you want to talk Bears first, or you want to talk about Shedeur?
Let's do Shedeur first.
No, I think it was the most noteworthy thing of the draft. Overall, it was probably the silliest thing of the draft overall, as you're watching the coverage on like both sides of the spectrum on the Shedeur talk. You got, you know, the president of the United States tweeting out about it. You got Mel Kiper just making
flipping
look like
out.
He's making it look like he's paid off by Dion, just how much he's going, you know, for this. You got people on the other side, you know, just, you know, he shouldn't be drafted, X, Y, and Z. It was just the wildest of wild takes. We talked, I'm pretty sure, at the end of the NFL season, the team's actually in the market for quarterback right now. And we were going down list by list of like, who are the teams that actually needed a quarterback? You had a big influx in quarterbacks from the draft the past couple years.
Yeah.
You know, and the teams that have picked a guy, let's say in the last 5 years, have paid, you know, the max. You know, got Kyler and Lawrence and some of these others. So, you know, as you, Aaron, and I were breaking down a lot of the drafts, like, who really needs a quarterback? So the Titans at number one, hey, they needed a quarterback. Their situation with Will Levis did not look great. And okay, Cam Ward's going to be taken number one. And then you're looking at, okay, does Cleveland need one? They really didn't. Then it was like, okay, the Raiders, are they going to take a quarterback? Well, they didn't. Your Steelers were the talk of probably the entire draft of like, okay, when are the Steelers going to take him? And they never shot up in the conversation beyond just the speculation of, okay, they don't really have a quarterback, so they should take Shedeur. But didn't seem like it was in the cards for them. So I think overall it was a couple factors at play. I don't think it was, you know, there was race stuff involved. I think people were talking about certain aspects of it. There was, you know, collusion. People were being going on because of, you know, the pre-ritual, the overall vibe of Shedeur. My biggest thing about it, as, you know, you and I who work in professional industries, Shedeur was on a job interview for the last couple months. So whatever these interviews were like, I don't care what you do in the media and out in public and stuff. You get behind the closed doors and stuff gets leaked, and maybe it's, you know, you're just playing. You know, a lot of times these NFL guys are jockeying and there's misinformation putting out there. But there was enough, I think, out there. And I think there's enough on Shedeur's public persona and knowing he's, you know, Dion's son. This is a showmanship, you know, profile that they got out there. His whole draft setup was just an entire.
Oh, dude, that was crazy. Was legendary.
Legendary.
Plastered all over the place.
It was an entire show. But at the end of the day, the NFL in the draft process, you were on a job interview, and these teams have certain needs and what they're looking for. And you could take a lot of the, you know, extracurricular and the swagger and everything that goes with Shador that, you know, really does no bearing on, is he going to be productive on the field? But teams will take that if you know they're going to be great. If he had, you know, Patrick Mahomes talent that you know right out that this guy is going to be a consensus, it wouldn't matter any of this stuff. You'd take him in. But I think there is questions from NFL evaluators exactly how great can he be on the professional level. I think he has a ton of talent, but is he going to be a guy that's going to be a game changer that on the field in combination with all the off the field stuff. And it's nothing bad off the field either. That's the other part of it too. It's like, you can go one way or the other, but overall, is this a guy that's going to be coachable? Is this a guy that's going to be prepared? I think the Giants were a team that I think we talked about as well too. And I think it was leaking out of their organization that he had a really bad meeting with Daboll as far as the overall preparation and football and stuff like that. So, you know, if this is the job interview you're going for and you don't show up prepared, okay, cool. We're just going to move on to the next one. This isn't there. So if he had multiple interactions like that, I don't know this for a fact. I wasn't behind closed doors, but that was kind of the overall sentiment of the draft process. And then I think with so many other teams, I think the biggest thing that people talk about, so many other teams set at their quarterback position. Why am I taking on another quarterback that is going to be, if he's not starting, do you think Shador is going to be a potential problem as the backup quarterback? Like, the Cleveland situation is insane. Like, they have five different quarterbacks they basically on the roster. Deshaun, they're going to be paying next year, but he's not playing. He's out for the full season.
He's not playing, no.
They signed Flacco. They traded for Kenny Pickett. And then they draft two quarterbacks in this draft with Gabriel, who they took first, I think, in the third round, and then Sanders in the fifth. So, many will say, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Well, if you have five quarterbacks, you don't have one either.
That's a lot. That's a loaded room.
Yeah, so there's going to be a ton of drama if Cleveland about, like, hey, who's going to be playing? Like, Flacco maybe gets the start, but it's a short lease. Kenny Pickett now is his third different franchise. You know, I don't think he is going to be the overall successful one. So I think Shador's got a ton of talent. I just don't know if it's going to match the situation he's in. I hope for his sake that this is the motivation that he's spinning this for. This is going to be something that's going to propel him into, hey, you got all 31 other teams and even the Browns, for that matter, passed up on me on four or five different occasions, and they're going to make them pay. But I think there's something to be said. You know, I think Shador was doing a lot of stuff with it early in the draft, and Deion was saying stuff. It's like, we're going to choose where we're going to go.
Yeah, I think that's where, like, it kind of bit them in the butt, you know, all that campaigning going on. And then on social, at least, that interview that he did, like that presser, I'm not even sure where it was, where he says, if you don't want to change the culture, don't draft me. I'm a game changer. You know, I did it at Jackson State, did it at Colorado, and it was just a little too cocky. And then the news coming out that the Daboll thing, Daboll's a quote unquote, like a quarterback whisperer working with various quarterbacks and getting out the best out of them, and him coming not prepared for that and then giving him attitude, that's where, like, it didn't look good for him. And then I guess once you're, like, out of, like, that starting draft position in the at least in the first round, it's like, well, you know, realistically all these guys are gonna be backups. And he has, like, a kind of reminds me of, like, a Colin Kaepernick kind of thing. It's just a lot of attention, and nobody wants their backup quarterback to have that much media attention. That just all piled on. It just piled on.
100% agree on that. And that's what I was trying to say. Like, there's a certain point with these NFL teams is, like, what are you willing to take on? And I think the Kaepernick situation, while completely different reasons for why
completely
those guys
yeah.
weren't there, but the Kaepernick situation came about is, like, okay, you can tell me, and there was a thing, oh, Kaepernick's better than XYZ quarterbacks. Okay, right. They're right, but is all the extra things that go with bringing in Colin Kaepernick at the time outweigh you know, the talent in what he's going to bring to the team. And the NFL team just said, like, hey, he's not worth 24/7 coverage on ESPN and every news outlet for the backup quarterback to be doing that. And so while I don't think Shador long term is going to be having that be that type of lightning rod in this room, it is a pause for concern probably on some NFL teams of like, hey, I don't need my backup quarterback, you know, making all these rounds on social and then potentially having like Deion talking in the media and stuff like that. And
did Deion ever say anything on X or anything like that about the slide?
I don't recall him saying anything.
They've been pretty quiet. Like it must have been like a humbling experience. Like they must have been expecting what anywhere like the top five pick, and then it doesn't happen. Epic drop.
At the end of the day, like I said, rooting for Shador because, hey, you basically were slighted. Not just like it wasn't like an Aaron Rodgers where it was like, hey, you were supposed to go 1-2 overall and you slide to the end of the first round.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone felt bad for Rodgers. No, I mean, hey, you slid to the third day. And dude, it was
the quarterbacks taken before him. Like that was like the biggest slight.
Oh, yeah. The guy the Saints took. And that was like the biggest thing. Like, but, you know, at the end of the day, there's arguments to be made on both sides. There was a lot of conversation on, hey, guys like Dylan Gabriel and Howard and some of these other quarterbacks that were out there. Hey, they had
Steelers
really productive
took Howard.
Yeah, they had really productive college careers as well too, and they weren't up there as well. But I think Shador has a ton of talent. The Cleveland situation, I think, is I don't know if that's a good situation for him to be in. That's gonna be the biggest problem probably because hey, you don't know what's gonna be going on. Is he gonna get playing time? What's gonna be the reps like? You're gonna be sharing this thing with five different quarterbacks. I assume they're probably gonna move on from somebody. You know, maybe it's Kenny Pickett who they just traded for. Maybe Flacco never makes the team and they're just gonna be riding with some of these different guys. They're gonna have to narrow down the roster a little bit over in Cleveland.
Oh yeah, it's five now, but no one really carries more than two. Three is the rare exception. So people are gonna need to make the practice squad.
Threes become more common because there's certain roster exemptions for like the emergency quarterback because we don't want the Broncos situation where you're throwing out like an ex wide receiver at quarterback or something like that. So I think they'll probably have three, but who they'll be. But yeah, it was an interesting story. It'll probably be the entire story of the NFL draft. I think it was overreactions definitely on both sides. I think Mel Kiper looked foolish, but I think other people look foolish that were wishing for his downfall because like he was so cocky. Like there's a level of cockiness because he's super talented. If we watched some of those Colorado games, like him and Travis Hunter made some outstanding connections that were on that field where the talent is there. It's just
some hits, he stood in the pocket, he made big plays. He definitely has it, and I know he doesn't wow anybody in any one particular field, but yeah, you know, I think he has a fighting chance, so we'll see. Did you like Cam Ward going one? Did you see all like the videos about him coming out afterwards as well? Of how him interacting with Shador and Cam's just all about football. Like this guy's just serious and just like, oh no, I don't want to do that. I'm just here for football. Like no games.
Those videos were out. I don't know if they were leaked or they were just recorded stuff. But I mean, those are the type of things that NFL coaches definitely want to see. Hey, a guy who's just going to bury himself
in the playbook.
All about football. Like Tom Brady, you know, preaches that the whole time. Like his entire life was football. It was every little advantage. He's prepping. He's first one in the building, last one to leave, knowing he wasn't the most athletic person. But hey, he's going to beat you in preparation. He's all about football. And I think that probably was a long way for people in that. And, you know, Cam's overall story, you know, I don't think he was recruited or anything out of high school and, you know, took kind of the long road to get where he was at, betted himself going to Miami, you know, could have went out last year, but didn't. And, you know, got himself all the way to the number one overall pick. And is he going to be, is he going to lead the Titans to the Super Bowl? I don't know. You know, this could be one of those drafts where, hey, there's nothing special overall. You're not getting a Hall of Famer out of this draft at quarterback maybe. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at the number one overall pick a lot of times it isn't successful for the slam dunk guys too for how many.
We can look at
the stats, but I think, like, I can't even – the last quarterback I think drafted number one overall to win a Super Bowl I think was Peyton Manning.
The draft is tough, man. I don't like paying attention too much. I like watching it from afar, but getting knee deep in it and doing grades of like how well everyone did. Like no one knows anything really at the end of the day. It's just a crazy crapshoot when it comes to the draft for the NFL. Real quick, before we move on, love to hear what you thought about everything else and how you think your Bears did.
Well, I mean, starting with the Bears, I will say they had a great draft. I think the only missing thing to me out of their draft was running back.
Uh-huh.
There was definitely an opportunity for them to upgrade that position beyond Swift. And every indication out of the draft for the Bears at running back was that they basically, the guys they had targeted in the second round and third and fourth round, they were taking like picks prior from the couple guys they were going there. But so I think that was the biggest kind of disappointing thing you were looking for the Bears out of the draft, because Ashton Jeanty at one point like was the betting favorite for the Bears to be picking to go to the Bears. It was like, I think the betting lines was like, it was minus like 150. He was going to go to the Bears.
Yeah.
But for that to happen, the Bears are going to have to trade up to number 5. They didn't. The Jags actually traded up to number 2.
That was surprising.
To get Travis Hunter. I mean, they gave a lot for Travis Hunter. But I think at that point, that was the sealed the Bears' fate. Bears GM Ryan Poles basically said he didn't see the value in jumping up 5 positions on what he would have to give up to get, you know, a running back, which I think was fair, because Colston Loveland was the Bears' first pick, tight end, you know, big receiver type that I think Ben Johnson really coveted, because he's going to be kind of like basically the Sam Laporta kind of prototype in this offense. He's going to allow him to do 2 tight end sets with Zach Ertz, you know, I'm sorry, not Zach Ertz, Cole Kmet. I don't know why I'm wrong tight end, but yeah, Cole Kmet. So they'll basically have 2 tight end sets, but then there's just going to be a ton of different looks they're going to have, because that goes into the Bears' second pitch, which was kind of surprised, was Luther Burden out of Miami. But many consider him to be one of the best prospects in the draft. Like, he's a top 15 talent, and the Bears take him in the second round. So now you add this to Adunze and Moore, and, you know, and
it was a lot of talent in the second and third round this year's draft.
There was, and that's, I think that's what the Bears were looking at a ton in this draft, is like, hey, we're going to get a lot of good guys at a good price in the second round, because I think after 15, generally the knowledge is, hey, these guys, there isn't a big much difference. So overall, I was happy with the Bears draft. I think they made offensive points. When you look at their first 3 picks, was tight end, wide receiver, and offensive line. They added some D line help with Shamar Turner. And they got a kind of a running back. You know, it's the 7th round pick. They got Kyle Monagay, I think. Monagay, I can't pronounce his last name, from Rutgers. You know, 5'8".
He's pretty
back.
Decent. Yeah,
you know, he's tough, powerful runner. He's like low to the ground, you know, so can he give some of that power shifty stuff? Can he really move his leg? He's, you know, he's really quick. You know, I think that could be used in different packages. I think what you got out of the Bears was, hey, we're going to get a bunch of things that we have a ton of different packages that Ben Johnson is going to use. And there's going to be a ton of different weapons and all over the place, and move things and design some different, you know, different looks for same plays, basically.
Yeah. I thought they had a pretty good draft. I really liked the Steelers draft. They had some question marks on the defensive line, and they got Harmon out of Oregon, and then Yala Black out of Iowa. They got a couple guys out of Iowa, including a running back. So it was pretty sweet. I didn't get the Will Howard pick, though, in round 6. Like, I think me, you, and Aaron, man, we've been talking all year around how he's good, but he also had like a loaded team, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, you get a lot of these big time quarterbacks from big time universities. That's like, is it them or is it the skill players that they have? You know, I think Joe Burrow was the consensus number 1. But when you look at having Justin Jefferson,
he had a loaded team, but he's still pretty good.
He's great, but he had a loaded team. I don't think there's any concerns there. But you know, back in the day, you remember the Miami national champions in 2001 when Ken Dorsey, but okay, he had a stacked team all over the place from a skill position perspective. So
yeah,
I don't know if you're picking Will Howard to be the starter for Pittsburgh. I'm at this point, I don't know how you guys are. I'm assuming they have a deal with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm assuming so too, because even afterwards they're like, well, you know, we're just waiting to hear back from Aaron Rodgers whether he comes back or not. I guess, dude. Like we've been signing wide receivers and running backs and everybody else, but no quarterback. It's like the most backward thing ever.
I just assume you guys already have Rodgers. I think Tomlin and Rodgers, from what the reports were, even when he was going through the initial round, that they have a good, professional, relationship and understanding that, I think they respect each other on both ends. And it's probably Rodgers' only chance at this point, is the Steelers, and they have a big gaping hole. I liked Caleb Johnson, the third round pick they got. I actually was hoping the Bears would pick him up. I like him. The Steelers let Najee Harris go, so there's a hole to fill there at running back. So I think that was a really good pickup for them in the third round.
Yeah.
I think you get what you get with the Steelers out of that. They added three big pieces on the defensive line and then a running back. So you know what they're going to be doing. We're pounding the ball and we're playing, firm defense, and that just ties up for what the Steelers always do.
You know whose draft I really liked? Was the New York Football Giants.
Okay.
I actually like Dart, and he's an Ole Miss guy. Weird stat. They've only drafted Ole Miss quarterbacks. Archie, Eli, and now Jackson Dart. So pretty crazy. I guess like all the stuff that came back with the interview, especially with Daboll, is like everywhere he goes, the guys just follow him. He gets like the team meetings going, practices, bonding, accountability. He just had like that it factor where everyone follows him in the locker room. He was pretty decent at Ole Miss, but maybe that translates to something else in the NFL. It's like one of those like mid, Southern schools. He had a decent career, but nothing too crazy. Then bam, becomes like this crazy NFL quarterback. So I kind of like it. I kind of like them getting them. That quarterback room is crazy now. You got Wilson. You got Jameis Winston, Dart, and I can't remember who else.
Tommy DeVito. I don't know. Is he in the room still? I don't know if he's in the room anymore.
I don't know, but
he probably found his way out. That it's another cruddy quarterback room. I do agree with you on their draft overall. I'm not sold on the Jackson Dart pick. I think that.
Into the first round and get him. Like, who was getting him? Like, I'm so confused by this draft. It was a weird draft.
There was weird things with quarterbacks in this draft overall, but I think that speaks to the overall uncertainty of the entire class. There just wasn't this run. We were used to last year's draft where we had, three, four, five top guys that they're looking for a quarterback, where this year no one was, they all said Cam Ward was the best, but no one was like, it wasn't
Aaron
like,
loves him.
Aaron loves him. He made Miami relevant. This last year, as much as Miami has gotten back into the national fold a little bit, that team could have been a 7-win team if it wasn't for Cam Ward and some of the stuff he got them, from behind.
So, the refs helped too.
A little bit there. So some of those late night magic, but going back to the Giants, I do agree with you on that draft. I think Jackson Dart aside, that could have been maybe the iffy piece trading up in there, but Abdul Carter, probably the best player in the draft that everyone was talking for.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
You got there. Darius Alexander, another D lineman out of Toledo in the third round, and he's a pretty dynamic piece. So you really just remade kind of the defensive line there. And Cam Scadaway, running back out of Arizona State, man, a little bit of a cult following here towards the end. I think the city of Chicago would have been crazy if they would have drafted him. I'm pretty sure
he would have been good in Chicago. I feel like this guy's like a McCaffrey 2.0. I don't know.
I think there's something there. So, yeah, I'd agree with you on the Giants draft in combination with some of the skill they do have. Daboll, they kept the stability in place with him. Could some of these picks, and they made some progress here, kind of,
They don't fire Daboll. They don't fire Sean. It's pretty crazy, but they had a pretty good offseason so far.
Yep.
So, let's wrap it up. So talk a little NBA playoffs, unless you got anything else to say about the draft.
No, I think that was pretty much it. I mean, if you watched the 3 days of ESPN coverage, they really only talked about Shedeur Sanders the entire time.
It was disgusting. Like, ESPN sucks. They just like hold on to one topic way too long.
I mean, that was, you can blame ESPN, but you can pretty much blame all of everything at that point, because you looked at
X was about it.
NFL Network was the same thing. ESPN. The overall, It was the overall coverage. That was the storyline. It's new. It was going to get clicks because Colorado, you know, Colorado got the attention, and that's just because of Deion and what the program was, and Shador was kind of there. So, I mean, that pretty much was the story of the draft, and we'll look back and, you know, look at everyone's mess ups, and we missed somebody out of this draft that was like a diamond in the rough.
I thought the prank was kind of funny. Like the DC from Atlanta, like his son doing it. Like, that's fucked up.
The apologies. The apology is even funnier because, you know, that was like written by the Falcons PR firm that they make your son put this tweet out.
We're going to investigate this even further. It sounds like guys already found out what happened. Coach left his iPad at home. His son's an asshole. Got the number and prank called with his buddies.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. Solved. Case solved.
Solved.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We come back. NBA playoffs. Wow. That's all I got to say. I'm not even upset, but just wow. All right. It's too bad Aaron's not here. We got no one here actually to talk basketball. It's a late night pod, dude.
Wow.
We got I'm Jason. No... It's just me and Jason. I had to be like that. But there's just so much going on in the NBA. This is honestly one of the best playoffs I can remember.
Like, all right, so you say that right now. Okay, so let me give you my hot take right now. The NBA needs to move the first round back to best of five because you say this has been the round. You have every series right now is 3-1 or 4-0 sweep except for the Nuggets Clippers. That's the only great series right
You're
now.
Just Everything looking at the numbers. Dude.
I'm just looking at the numbers?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
These have been like tough-nosed, hard-fought games, and that's what we were talking about like when the playoffs started. Clippers Nuggets have been exciting. The Magic kind of made the Celtics fight for that a little bit. Rockets Warriors, like today was a battle till the end. Warriors come out. Yeah, they're up 3-1, but they can easily be down 1-3. You got Lakers Timberwolves. Lakers were leading in the fourth quarter in both those games that they lost back to back. JJ Redick played all the starters, no bench. In the second half, first time that's happened in like 30 years. And then what's the other game? Bucks Pacers. Bucks are done. We can talk about that as well. Pistons Knicks, though, that's been a great series. Like, there's like some physicality going on, like old school basketball. Like, I like these young teams, the Pistons, the Rockets, the Timberwolves. Like, there's gonna be some fun basketball coming up in the next 5 to 6 years. With these young teams, man, like they just don't give a shit. Like they will punch you in the face and say like, what's up? Like, I think like the little finesse phase of the NBA is going bye-bye and I'm all for it, man.
Good. Maybe I can be back on board with the NBA then. Maybe that'll make it more exciting.
It's good, dude. I like these young teams, man. They're like in their face, like in LeBron's face and Giannis's face. It's really fun. Let's recap though. Bucks, they're washed up, man. Damian Lillard came back from the clot. First time that's ever happened. Like someone came back from like that kind of clot. Played a little bit, didn't shoot very well in game three, I believe. Then came back in game four and then tore his Achilles. He might not even play next year. He's already, what, 36, 37? That might be it.
I don't know if he's that old, but yeah, I mean, it's yeah, that may not be it, but when you're thinking about the trade that got him there to keep Giannis, that they were making a move for a superstar, man, that really hurts. And I think at this point, the Bucks window, you could be it's talking done. About, is it done? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel really bad. We can, Celtics, they should be able to close it out tomorrow. Magic have been pretty good, but they're just outmatched. Celtics should be able to close out in five games. You're right. It can't. A lot of these can be the five game series, but this is like a really fun playoffs. Lakers, Timberwolves. I know LA is pretty bummed. I know a lot of Laker fans are pretty bummed. The last game, man, Lakers should have won it. There was like some foul calls. You know, if you want to complain about like Luka not getting the call, it could have maybe got some free throws to kind of seal it. But this is more about like the rise of Anthony Edwards. We kind of saw it last year in the playoffs when he kind of took them into the Western Conference Finals, then met a really red hot Luka and the Dallas Mavericks. But Anthony Edwards is ascending, and I think he's ready to take the throne to the NBA. And I'm not mad at that. It's just I just think it's a little too soon because it's interrupting my Laker team, and And I'm pretty sure the NBA, the association, wants the Lakers to go farther along. Like, it's a really good team, and it just sucks that like a good team like the Lakers might be done in the first round, and that's it. But then you got Randall playing lights out from deep, dominating down low as well. You can see why they traded for him, and it's all starting to click at the right time. They were on fire in the later half of the season. And they're just following Anthony's lead. He's like in LeBron's face, pushing him, shoving him, getting these nasty foul calls. And I'm all for it. It's at the expense of my team, but it's really fun to watch. Anthony Edwards, I think, is my favorite player in the NBA.
Not a bad take. You could say that with him. There was the, albeit way too soon, there was the Jordan comparisons with Anthony Edwards last year. We were on this playoff run. The Timberwolves, interesting, because they traded before Anthony Edwards, basically their franchise player in the offseason, and got back in return, you know, what people saw as kind of scraps of the New York Knicks. Like, they weren't getting a star. They're getting a bunch of, you know, second and third tier guys to replace
DiVincenzo and who else?
Randall, and I forgot who else. Yeah, I mean, but overall, that turned into, hey, we're going to be a deeper team and have a lot better pieces to build around Anthony Edwards. And like you said, Randall being able to be, you know, the aggressive down low, have a different, you know, the team running through Anthony Edwards much more, and the attention goes there. You know, it's a gritty team. You can say that in the West between the Lakers Timberwolves series, but I think even more so in the Nuggets Clippers series, where, hey, one of these teams is going to go out in the first round, but that could also see them in the NBA Finals. Like, it's just some of the, it's unfortunate when you look at how stacked the West is top to bottom, that two or three of these teams are going to be gone before you know it. And probably there's going to be some undeserving Eastern Conference team that's going to advance to the second round. But how the NBA puts their playoff bracket together. But yeah, I think the Nuggets Clippers going into that series, I think that's the one for me, is not watching the NBA every night, has been the one I think just gotten the biggest attention. The Clippers, ton of hype behind them at any moment, where they're saying this could be the Clippers team that could make the run, because it's not really James Harden. It's not really Kawhi, you know, getting it done. We're kind of, but there's so many other parts of this Clippers team that makes them. But then at the same time, you know, Jokic just says, okay, cool, you're going to forget who I am, and I'm the best player in the league that you don't want to talk about, but I'm the MVP every single year and can just own the series. So I think it's a battle of wills for these teams, because, you know, they got a Thunder team looking at whoever the winner of that game is. And the Thunder have been outright the best team all year, but they, you know, is this going to be the year the Thunder have another challenge? Because, hey, it's that always thing in the NBA. You need to lose a couple times in the playoffs before you kind of reach the summit. Are the Thunder going to be able to take it all the way to the NBA Finals this year, when you had a seasoned, you know, Nuggets team that won the NBA title potentially, or a Clippers team that has some veteran experience?
A lot of veterans.
But they're super deep. And they're hungry. Different ways. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of different, yeah, so I could see that. And then I think at the bottom of the bracket, too, when you used to go Rockets and your, I don't want to say your hometown Warriors right now, but, you know, across the street from where you're at in San Francisco right now, you know, I think a lot of people pick this upset for the Warriors over the Rockets, because you say the Rockets, didn't we on the pod, we talk about name someone who plays for the Rockets, and like, I was going through the
we
roster.
Did that
it was
a few
like,
weeks ago, yeah.
It's like, but at the same time, you know, the Warriors seemingly can turn this on at any given moment, and then, you know, they got Jimmy Butler's been in and out this series, but it still kind of really hasn't mattered. And I think this was the matchup they kind of wanted, and I think the Warriors definitely got a path too. So even though you got all these young and hungry teams, hey, the Warriors, every couple of years, I guess, apparently now, they're going to be able to get a few pieces, put it together, and run it back, you know, with that, you know, Steph and Draymond, you know, core.
This feels like the last hurrah, but yeah, you know, I had the Rockets winning the series, but it's just like the little pieces at the end, and Draymond's getting underneath everybody's skin, and like, the Rockets are a young team, man. Like, they just never been here before. They're playing really well. It could easily be the other way around, but Warriors do enough at the end of the game to get the victory. Like, that was a big win to go up 2-1. Rockets are going to kick themselves in the ass for not getting that one. And I didn't fully watch the whole game tonight. but now they're up 3-1, pretty commanding. You know, you're young and facing a lot of adversity. They got to be feeling it in the next game coming up.
Yep.
Nuggets, Clippers, Kawhi's been playing lights out, man. Like 30 points, 8 rebounds, assists. He's just all over the place. He's just a different type of animal. Like, he hasn't looked this good, and I think since he was with Toronto, and that's scary. They're loaded. As you mentioned, they got Harden, Zubac, Will, you know, it's just a good team. Nuggets, they look a little lost, especially since they fired their coach. But Jokic is just so fucking good. He's even subbing his own players out. Like, not even the coaches are doing it. It's him doing
like,
it.
No, he's like, hey, I'm just going to coach this thing right now.
Still averaging a triple-double, 40 points, 15 to 20 rebounds, 10 to 15 assists. Like, he's just amazing. So he's not going to go out without a fight. But Clips probably come out of that, right?
I think the Clippers do. You mentioned Zubac. I think many people consider him.
I think he's the difference maker.
Yeah. No one's we're talking about, but the most, I think, certain circles of NBA, his name was mentioned as like most improved player, because this was a guy like no one's talking about when, in the heels of losing Paul George in the offseason, hasn't really been a big deal for them because they've had someone like Zubac that step up, you know, get the different rebounds in the game. James Harden, you mentioned Kawhi, as good as he has not been since he signed this Clippers contract.
Right.
But hey,
MIA.
Yeah, but he's had the postseason that you expect when he's got it, and this could be their moment. I agree with you. I think the Clippers still have the advantage in this series, but I think the bad thing for them is the longer this series goes, and they're going to go against a fully rested Thunder team that just swept the Grizzlies. That's not playing well for them in the second round for a team that has, you know, a James Harden and Kawhi that, you know, aren't always playing the most games during the regular season to be, you know, conditioned enough to go through the, especially as aggressive and physical that the playoffs generally turn into. And what you're telling me, it's more than usual.
Yeah, it's great, dude. I'm loving it. You know, it's funny, like, yeah, like Thunder's hitting on all cylinders, but you have like some veteran teams coming up. You would think like these veteran teams, like, you know, are just going to have like that leadership and that experience to kind of get further along. But is this the year when like the youth just finally catches up? Like the Thunder are just really, really good. I don't know. Yep. I'm really praying that my Lakers at least extend this thing out to game 7, make it a battle. But if the Timberwolves make it out of this thing, I might be switching up who I have going to the finals from the Western Conference side. That's how good I think Anthony Edwards is.
I think the path for him beating the Lakers is very interesting, because he could be taking down LeBron and then he goes up against Steph the next round, and is
they
this
team, yeah,
they can handle them too. And now you're potentially looking at a Thunder T-Wolves Western Conference final with, you know, basically some young cores going at it.
Pretty epic. I don't think we talked much about the East. Cavs took care of business. Oh yeah, we did. Knicks and Pistons.
At the most
really
part,
good.
We just need to fast forward to Cavs Celtics Eastern Conference Finals, because everyone else doesn't matter.
Yeah, Pistons. They blew two of those games. They should be up 3-1. But it's a young team,
very,
though.
Very. The Pistons will be very interesting next year. And the Knicks. I don't.
What's
this
up
could with- be the. This could be the peak of the Knicks right now.
I think, like, dude, I'm glad you said that. I think this is it. This is it, because this Pistons team, like, what's up with Detroit always putting up these kind of teams? Like, you know, it's like every 10 years.
They haven't had one in a while.
No, so I like this team.
Well, I mean,
man, they're tough.
They can be tough, and like you see the downfall of the Bucks. I think the Pacers are still pretty good, but the Knicks, this could have been their peak. Hey, the third seed in the East, and we ain't getting much better than that. And you start seeing, you know, kind of the fall of them a little bit. But I think Eastern Conference, flash forward to the Eastern Conference Finals, the biggest question. The biggest question is, can the Cavaliers beat the Celtics? They look very dominant versus the Heat, but it's a bad Heat team that, you know, frankly, that position shouldn't even be in the playoffs for the most part, based on the teams that were playing in the play-in games for that.
Yeah.
But the Cavs were early in the season, were the best team in the league that first couple months, and we were talking about them, the run they were going on, and they were able to maintain one in the East. But it's a special Celtics team. I know you as a Lakers fan aren't going to hear that, but this is a Celtics team that, hey, can they rip off a couple championships here? Because, you know, they got the depth, they got the championship behind them last year, and, you know, now's the time for them to kind of go on a little bit of a run. They have a fairly easy path to the finals compared to what you need to do in the West, where the winner of the West may be a little more beat up.
For sure.
I'm using a little more hockey logic there, though, because hockey, you really do get beat up, and basketball, not so much, but it still applies.
Dude, there's a funny video circling about, like, the NBA playoffs and, like, hockey playoffs and all the theatrics in the NBA. It's great.
I know we can go on this forever, but, like, and we haven't talked a ton of hockey, given what you want to talk, and we'll get into more hockey later, but I will always tell everyone.
I know.
It is undisputed. You and Aaron. The hockey playoffs are the best playoffs. It's undisputed. The hockey playoffs are the best when it comes to, like, just the overall physicality and, you know, the closeness of the games and just the intensity of the games. Don't have as many of the blowouts. And I know my basketball friends will tell me, well, you know, the scores are 2-1, 3-1, whatever. But, you know,
I don't care about that.
There's something special about you're on your feet and just waiting for the anticipation of the goal in the hockey playoffs. And just the NBA it's a little more physical. Hockey, it's physical, where everyone's getting injured and everyone just says, they're day to day with a lower body injury. And then you find out, like, they broke their femur 3 weeks ago and they didn't disclose it.
It's pretty crazy. Couple series I'm paying attention to, the NHL, Stars and Avalanche. And then as well as, the Kings, man, the Kings and Oilers, every game has been a nail biter. It's been a lot of fun. Everything else is kind of like the NBA, I guess. You know, got some.
The West is like the West in the NBA, but everything's at 2-2, or with the Dallas up 3-2 in that series. But yeah, I think the Knights and Wild has been a pretty good series too. I still think the Knights favor to win that and should win that. But, you know, Kings Oilers, you know, Kings potentially got the goalie advantage in that series, but you got the defending Western Conference champions, and, you know, between Draisaitl and McDavid in that series, you got two of the maybe five best players in the league for Edmonton. So, I mean, a lot of people think Edmonton was poised to kind of go back here. The Jets have the best goalie probably in hockey with Hellebuck right now. But that series more competitive than I would have said at the beginning of the year too, or the beginning of the playoffs. So very competitive in the West. The East, not as competitive. Toronto.
That's so crazy.
Up 3-1. The Panthers pulled it out tonight. You know, cross state rivals with the Lightning, and kind of was their nemesis. And for the Panthers, beating the Lightning was getting over the hump, you know, kind of last year to get that first Stanley Cup for Florida. Now they're facing them again and got them this year. The Capitals really were the team all year, and they're taking care of the Canadians. And then Hurricanes, Devils, no one's really talking about. The Hurricanes got a pretty good team, but they're up over the Devils. So, I mean, yeah, the East, a little bit like the Eastern Conference in the NBA, that's kind of running away with that stuff there. But I think out West, man, you can see a potential title of the contender go down. I know a lot of people out in our area in California like the Kings, but, man, the Oilers are a really good team. And I don't want to sleep on the Jets either, because they've been really impressive all year. Goaltending matters, and I think that's where you like the Kings, what they have, and you like the Jets for their goaltending situation too.
I can rep the Kings. I never really – yeah, kind of rooting for them. All right, quick pod, man. I think that does it for us, right?
Does it for us. We can get back later. We got the Miami Grand Prix coming up this weekend. If we're talking a little Formula One, and then we'll get deeper into the NHL and NBA playoffs. At some point, we're going to do the MLB preview and maybe the All-Star break, but maybe we'll talk about baseball at a certain point this year. Aaron and I can just update you on our National League only Keepers Fantasy League if you just want to hear about that.
I've been trying to keep up with baseball, but it's just kind of hard right now.
Well, I'll tell you, the Dodgers were the bell of the ball early on, but the Padres and Giants, man, they're going to give them a fight. This division out West is insane.
It's disgusting.
Between the Giants, Padres, Dodgers, and even the Diamondbacks, for how good they are. But I want you to pay attention to this, Rome, because as much as I, as the resident Chicago White Sox fan, one of like five in Southern California, I constantly am getting heckled for how bad the White Sox are. Even though we won opening day versus the Angels and we were going to go undefeated, but have it. White Sox 7-21, Rome, not the worst record in Major League Baseball. Do you know who has the worst record in baseball?
I don't know. I just remember you being pumped up that they were 2-3.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped up. It was a great time. Hasn't gone that way. But you're changing the subject, dummy, Rome. Worst record in baseball, not the White Sox at 7-21.
Dude, I haven't even looked at the standings. It's not fair.
It's not fair. I'm saying,
let's see.
Off the field, who do you think the worst team in Major League Baseball is right now?
Can't be the Angels. They won a couple recently.
They did win a couple, but the Angels falling fast. They've lost three straight and three out of seven, but they have 12 wins. 12-15 is not the worst. You can give up, Rome. It's okay.
I don't know.
The worst team in baseball is the only bad team in the NL West, the Colorado Rockies, Rome.
They are
4-24 so far this season.
There's a Game of Thrones memes going around, like the dragons, everybody else in the division is a good dragon and the Colorado Rockies are the dumb dragon.
100%. And they definitely are that. So the best division in baseball has four of the best teams in the league, but they have the absolute worst team as well. So the Rockies, I don't know if they win a game this year, cause they probably are going to get swept in every one of their division series between those four juggernauts you got at NL West, but, very interesting race there. The Mets, I think people talking about that. The Mets first in the NL East. They're doing pretty good. The Cubs first in the Central. It's been some good baseball so far. But, the NL West, I think it's something to keep an eye on.
That's amazing. I haven't been to an Angel game in a while. I think we got to make that happen.
I mean, they had a good start, but as it is every year with the Angels, I have a couple of friends who are Angels fans, and they are obnoxious as hell, and they'll be just going Angel season. Angel season is in April, because once it turns to May, they are out of contention.
All right, yeah, let's definitely talk some more baseball later on. God, I'm so tired.
All right, so we're not going to be talking English Premier League or any football.
Oh, dude, my Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Liverpool, man. I was so pumped. So I work in a restaurant, and the chef, he's a Michelin-starred, chef, and he's from the UK. Big Arsenal fan. Just kept on shoving it in my face because they had, some improbable victories and kind of made some noise. But, man, Liverpool, man. Salah. Title in the first year with the new manager. I'm loving it. I haven't watched that many games. This is like one of the fewest this season I've watched I didn't watch a lot of games this year.
Didn't watch a game this year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Liverpool pretty much from the opening couple months pretty much had it in the bag when you look at, what they had from a points perspective. And
that's great.
Only two losses so far this year for Liverpool. 25 wins, pretty much dominated the Premier League. Manchester United, man.
Relegated, right?
They did not get relegated, but they were like 15th place right now.
Oh, man.
At 39 points. I think Leicester City, Southampton, and Ipswich Town all were relegated. I don't know if I have not watched the show, Rome. I only see clips of it. But
I haven't either.
You're talking about Welcome to Wrexham?
Yeah.
Okay. But they got promoted, and they're going to the Championship League, which is the step below the Premier League. So they have been promoted 3 years in a row.
First time that's happened in history.
First time it's happened in history.
Yeah,
a lot of naysayers about the whole thing is because they invested money, so you win. It's kind of key to it. I was like, but hey, if it was that easy, more teams would be buying just these random, teams in lower divisions and pumping money in to get them promoted. And I don't think anything's come with much as hype and stuff as Wrexham has with Ryan Reynolds and team.
I'm surprised how cheap they bought the team for. Like, I didn't know you could
buy 2.5 million.
Yeah, you could buy a pro team that cheap. Like, dude, let's do a crowdfund. Let's go become GM somewhere.
I think buying it's the easy part at that point. Then it was about probably raising the funds. I mean, I think they're sponsored by United Airlines and a bunch of other stuff too. So they got, they got big time sponsors.
Well, yeah. And you got Ryan Reynolds. He's made a lot of money doing a lot of films, and what he owns, like that one Boost Mobile knockoff one.
Yeah.
He has the gin brand aviation, and
it's smart business stuff. You know, if they bought it and they got the TV show behind it, I think it's got a following. It's got a really cool story when you talk about the town, and
it's crazy.
There's something about English football. I think just in, you know, soccer around the country, that I love the leagues. I love the relegation system, because you can get stories like this where, you know, if you invest in a team and it, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of it's coming down to money. Cause you look at the Premier League, you know, your top teams that spend the most money, you know, end up winning. But I think there's cool stories in here, and if there's an incentive, you know, for these teams to do well, to get better, to invest in the team, because you'll get even more money from an investment standpoint. But I think it's a really cool story.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Oh man, Liverpool, it's good stuff.
Yeah, all right, we're just throwing random sports. Aaron's not here, we can talk about a bunch of different things.
Oh man, he would have been going crazy in the Lakers, man. Like, he has like this nasty snarl when he gets really upset, you know, and he wants to get dirty.
We'll have to see later in the week if you lift Aaron's ban from the show. Maybe it won't be until the Lakers are officially out, but
yeah. You guys are right. A broken clock's right twice a day, or whatever it is. You guys got lucky. Yes. All right, I'll do it. We'll be back later in the week with a little Miami Grand Prix preview. Should we invite Andrew for that?
Absolutely.
All right. Maybe we might have a guest. It's just me and Jason, Source from the Sofa. Catch us later.